How dangerous could busting Class E airspace be? The answer may surprise you. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. There are lots of stories about people busting TFRs. We probably all know someone who's inadvertently wandered over the edge of Class B or C. But what's the most frequently busted airspace? My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, and he thinks it's Class E. Bob, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Well, I'm excited to talk with you about this, Paul. This is a very, very important subject and one that's near and dear to my heart because of our location near a big Class C airport.
Well, and Bob, I trained at an airport that was untowered, was surrounded by a bunch of other untowered airports, but I also had occasions to overfly airports that where this might have been a bigger deal. And it occurred to me that, you know, a lot of small airports probably have people traverse their airspace all the time without taking the proper precautions.
Well, the particular problem that we're alluding to here is just for our listeners, if we can just imagine the following scenario. We're a non-towered airport just in fairly close proximity to a Class B, C, or D airport. And so our operations, if we're not careful, can impede or interfere with instrument arrivals into those nearby airports. Now, if we all just think back to our primary training days when we learned the National Airspace System, let's just remember that Class G airspace exists from the surface to 700 feet in most airports that surround larger airports. These are airports inside the magenta fade on the sectional. So let's just keep this in mind. In Class G airspace, that goes up to just 700 feet. And in that airspace, we're free to fly clear of clouds with 1 mile visibility. Mm-hmm. Also, at those very same airports, the traffic pattern typically goes up to 800 or 1,000 feet above the surface. So we'll have a cloudy day, and a pilot will say, well, I'm just going to fly in the traffic pattern. The cloud bases may be right at 1,000 feet, but I can just stay under those bases and remain in the pattern and be just fine. But remember, when they're up above 700 feet in the traffic pattern, they are now in Class E airspace.
Right.
And Class E airspace requires us to have 3 miles of visibility, and we must remain 500 feet below the clouds. So that puts us in a scenario that lest we know that, we could be in Class E airspace and just traversing the bases of the clouds, while instrument flights flying overhead might be just a few hundred feet above us, and their traffic collision alert systems are going off, they're getting target advisories, conflict advisories, and it's all caused by us flying in space that we should not be in at that particular in those particular weather conditions. So this is the classic Class E bust, and as I wrote in the article this month, someday we're going to have a catastrophic event where we have an airliner on approach just a little lower than he's supposed to be, and a GA pilot above his airport in the traffic pattern just a little higher than he should be, and we could have a catastrophe, all because of this Class E bust.
Is this primarily, Bob, an issue that's going to be brought on by weather conditions in your mind?
Yes, that's exactly what it's brought on by. It's only really a factor when the ceilings are very low. When the ceilings are up high or clear skies, we always have the see and avoid. That rule trumps all others. No matter what the airspace is, the pilot has a responsibility to look out the window, see and avoid other traffic. But when the cloud bases are just at 1,000 feet and we're in the traffic pattern, say, at 900 feet, thinking that all we have to do is remain clear of clouds, that is not the case. We have to be 500 feet below those clouds. And the only time, as I mentioned earlier, that this is going to be a real problem is if we have an instrument arrival that's running just a little lower than he's supposed to be, still in the clouds, and we have one of us a little bit higher than we're supposed to be skimming the bases, without that requisite 500 feet visibility clearance, that's when we're going to have the problem.
Well, I guess it's incumbent on all of us to brush up on airspace any time that we're going to be flying into a new area. I know that I flew for a couple of years around the airports in which I trained, and there was not really any place I can think of where this was an issue.
Well, you live out there in the Golden West, but back here in the Rust Belt, believe me, we have one Class C airport right after another, usually spaced 50 to 60 miles apart, sometimes far closer. But here in Buffalo, we have three local airports that are very busy that exist under the Class C shelf, that outer ring. And this is where we have a real problem. And this exists in many areas of the East where we have lots of small non-towered fields in close proximity. And I think if you ask, and I certainly have air traffic controllers who work in these Class C facilities, they're concerned about those of us who just pop up on their radar screen without a call, unable to see IFR traffic that is just immediately above their pattern. And then the controllers are being barked at by airline crews that are getting traffic advisories by their TCAS system that were not called out ahead of time by ATC. And again, this all goes back to the hapless GA pilot who busted that class E airspace. On this subject, I do biennial flight reviews, probably two, maybe three a month. People who that I'm very pleased to serve and very pleased to have come over to the airport to work with me in this regard. And my favorite topic is the National Airspace System and the sectional. And I am appalled. I really am at the almost the universal failure of pilots that I see every day to recognize the limits imposed upon them by the sectional.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that they probably studied long ago as part of their private pilot check ride and really haven't looked at since.
Well, Bob, with winter settled in over the Northern Hemisphere, this is obviously going to come up more often for many of us. Thanks for sharing this insight with us today.
Thanks, Paul.
Bob Miller has been my guest. You'll find information on Bob's often controversial newsletter and a link to his flight school online at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.